Hey, hey, it's Friday. This is Locked On Oilers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Hernan Salas, from TSN 1260, Edmonton Sports Leader, and of course, the Two Guys in a Goalie podcast. Today on the show, I'll be joined by Anthony Mangione from Center Ice Philly, as we'll tee up Game 7 that goes on Saturday between the Philadelphia Flyers and New York Islanders. We'll talk on Carter Hart, and we'll also touch on Tyler Pitlick and a couple of feel-good stories coming out of Philadelphia. And what's that saying? The two sweetest words in sports. Game 7, and we got three of them. I just mentioned Saturday's matchup, but today we got Colorado and Dallas starting at 2 o'clock here in the Edmonton bubble, followed by Vancouver and the Vegas Golden Knights. And what about Demko? What a performance. It was funny because you're like, there's no way he's going to play as good as he did in Game 5, but man, he was even better in Game 6. It's going to be great to watch these two games. Nothing better than Game 7's in the world of sports, and once again we'll talk with Anthony Mangione and get a feel for the Philadelphia Flyers as they've won three overtime games in this series. Absolutely outstanding for that team. Of course, Sean Couturier did not play in Game 6. We'll see what his status is for Game 7, because that's a big player for them. If he can't go, that's a big loss, of course, for the Philadelphia Flyers. You can connect with me on Twitter at Hernan the Man, at Locked On Oilers, and give us a follow at Locked On Pods, and don't forget to download and subscribe on your favorite app for the latest episode. Let's get to it as we head to the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, as I'm joined by Anthony Mangione from Center Ice Philly. Anthony, how are you doing, my friend, down there in Philadelphia?
Doing okay, Hernan. Nice, toasty, warm day, you know, hockey weather, maybe?
Yeah. We got a Game 7 tomorrow, Philadelphia Flyers, New York Islanders. I mean, Philadelphia's been so impressive, but Anthony, I need to get your honest opinion here. What did you think when they were down 3-1? Did you think they would be able to tie this series up?
I thought that they would be able to get Game 5 to me felt like that was a game that if the Islanders were going to let their foot off the gas, I thought that was going to be it. But then I figured Game 6 was probably where they were going to be locking things down. Things didn't look great, obviously. Everybody kind of had an idea that Sean Couturier's injury after colliding with Matt Barzal,
mm-hmm.
It didn't look good. Again, the Flyers center, one of the biggest areas where the Flyers were having, I think, difficulty in the series is matching the Islanders down the middle. The Islanders, I think, have one of the better center combinations in the league in terms of they did. From first line to fourth line, there's really no they don't let off the gas, and they're all come with different tools. And Philly, I think, was struggling a bit with dealing with that and not being able to match your number one center in an elimination game in Game 6 was going to be a bit of a tough order.
Oh, definitely. And it's just bizarre because Philadelphia's three wins in this series have been in overtime. I mean, for the Flyer faithful, that can't be easy.
No, I can tell you for a fact that more than a few BPMs, I think, were elevated in the Delaware Valley, especially last night, because there were several key moments, yeah. I think, in that overtime, in the first overtime and early in the second overtime where, you know, it was getting pretty hairy in Philadelphia's end. And again, the big equalizer, I think, especially when they got to the second overtime, the Islanders seemed to kind of lose a bit of their energy, and Philly started to really kind of pick things up a bit more, to the point where you started to think, even though chances were being traded at both ends, it really felt like a seesaw battle that all it was going to take was one, who was going to blink first, who was going to make the mistake. And last night it ended up being, a broken stick for Scott Mayfield, leading to the game-winning goal by Provorov.
Yeah, we got to talk about, you know, here in Edmonton, he has a big following. Obviously, he's from this area. Carter Hart, 49 saves on the night. He's been absolutely fantastic. I mean, you look at the box score and you're like, well, it was 5-4, but Carter Hart kept that team in it, I thought, last night. And he's been absolutely just such a, I don't want to say surprise, but he's really solidified the goaltending position for the Philadelphia Flyers.
He really has, and even with a four spot last night, I would not say any of those. Even in some of the games, just, and I know Brian Boucher obviously mentioned in Game 5 that there were some soft ones that he had given up.
Yeah.
In this game, it was different. It was just the goals that happened in this one were, you know, would have required Herculean effort, I think, in order to have made stops. And again, Hart's credit. Again, he is one of the most mature young men I've ever had a chance to interview. even when he first came out in the draft, even during his first few developmental camps, you could tell that he's just wired differently. He just, and he offered a package, I think, in net where he just, he's fantastic at number one, his angles, his, he makes tremendous momentum stops where you can tell the team gets a lift from when he makes. I mean, Andersley, obviously, three times in the game last night, he had a prime scoring chance right on the doorstep, and Hart was able to get across and make stops. But it's not a case of where he's, you know, guessing. He is just, in terms of his game, his ability to track, the team just draws so much confidence, which, again, is a remarkable thing when you're talking about a 22-year-old netminder, when we're used to seeing NHL netminders entering the league at 24, 25. It's just the way he is wired. He has been an outstanding package for Philadelphia, and for the first time in a long time, I think they have a keeper for the next decade.
Anthony Mangione from Center Ice Philly joining me here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. Coming up next, we'll get into more of the Game 7 between the New York Islanders and Philadelphia Flyers. That goes on Saturday at 5:30 Edmonton time. More with Anthony Mangione next. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and my personal favorite, carrot cake, along with their 12 original flavors. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy or gal. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. Back here on the Locked On Oilers podcast, I am Hernan Salas, joined by Anthony Mangione from Center Ice Philly. Anthony, you know, it was funny today working here at TSN 1260. We were talking about all these series, and I remember looking at the host I was working with, and she said, why can't the Oilers have a player like Ivan Provorov? I worked at the arena when the Old Kings would play the Brandon Wheat Kings, so I saw Provorov play a lot in junior, and he was just always another step ahead of everyone else. But, you know, he scores a goal last night in OT, but he's been an absolute stud for the Philadelphia Flyers, and man, are they lucky they have this guy for the next 5 years.
He's going to be around in Philadelphia for quite some time. He's their bellwether number one. I mean, he doesn't necessarily profile, let's say, like a, you know, with a ridiculously high level of talent. Like, you know, when you have that total package of a Heiskanen or a Hedman. But yeah, it's just the things that he does all around, and he's just he thinks the game at a faster pace than most. His anticipation, and this is something that he's shown, as you said, ever since his days in Brandon. And I think it was, you know, an interesting choice when you had Provorov versus Zach Werenski back in the draft, and I'm sure it's still going to be an eternal debate for as long as the two of them are in the league. But what he does out there, this season he's always had a high level of play, but he needed to have a partner who is kind of cerebral and could think a lot like him on the ice, even if he doesn't have the same packaging. I think he and Matt Niskanen have been an outstanding pair together, where I think it's allowed Ivan's game to flower to a much fuller extent this season in having that, you know, that player with him. That being said, He's just tremendously good at angles. Yes, he still has his moments where he makes mistakes. He takes gambles, but he's able to get back quickly. He's physical. He just presents a total package, I think, on the back line, where as much confidence as I think they draw from Carter Hart and net, they draw the same level of confidence that they can throw Ivan Provorov out there continuously, get close to 30-plus minutes in a game, and he only gets, really, in many ways, his game seems to get better the longer that he plays. And that's a testament, obviously, to his conditioning, the work that he puts in the off season, even during when he was during the pause, he was in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, back with his Billis family, was able to find a small rink and continued to work out throughout that. And, you know, by the time he came back, he was on the ground and ready to go.
Yeah, there's another defenseman on the Flyers that I absolutely love, Travis Sanheim. You know, only 24 years old. He's, you know, got one more year left with the Philadelphia Flyers. But this guy, just watching him play, and, he can play on that second unit power play as well. He's a good passer. He's a big body. I'm really impressed with Travis Sanheim. Do the Flyer faithful feel the same way about this player?
Absolutely. He and his partner Phil Myers have had a rough series against the Islanders. As good as they were undoubtedly locked down the number one pair in the Montreal series. Montreal had a very difficult time dealing with them. Well, the Islanders, on the other hand, He's had some moments in this series. The two of them as a pair, as you saw last night, where he's made some turnovers that have cost Philadelphia. The one goal, obviously, by Matt Barzal, which put them up 4-3 late, where not only did the puck get picked off, but Barzal basically used him as a screen in order to get the go-ahead goal. And he tripped up, obviously, in overtime. That led to Casey Cizikas going the other way. That being said, the overall talent ability package of Travis Sanheim, his range, his physicality, which I think is most people realize is more so. Like Myers is probably the more physical of the two, but Sanheim can get in on guys and is able to wipe out whole sectors of the offensive zone when he's locked in. So between him, Provorov and Myers, Philadelphia's defense, I think, is really set up extremely well for the next decade. Even though he's, again, right now he's going to be coming to the end of his RFA contract. It's one of those things where I would be hard-pressed to think that he would be good playing anywhere else except Philadelphia. You have to have defensemen of his caliber on that blue line.
In conversation with Anthony Mingioni from Center Ice Philly, what's the status on Sean Couturier? This guy's one of my favorite players. I think he's one of that. He's like that Patrice Bergeron mold. He's absolutely fantastic in every aspect of the game. Any update on him? And I also want to ask about, a lot has been made about the big boys of the Philadelphia Flyers not showing up. Have they been better in these last two games? And when I say that, I mean Claude Giroux, Jacob Voracek.
We'll take the first part. So Couturier, we don't have an update yet. Again, it was definitely his right leg that collided with Matt Barzal. Again, these are going to be one of those things where I think, as it's been in the bubble, we will find out by the time when we get to a pregame skate tomorrow, maybe sometime around 6:30, 7 o'clock. We'll know for sure, because obviously the league doesn't extend it. It was a bit of a rough injury. In terms of the degree of the injury, we're going to have to see as we go along here. Would I necessarily think that he is going to play Game 7? I would probably – it's tough for me to put a percentage on it right now, because he did not skate in – he did not obviously skate during the pregame skate the other day. So if he's not out – if he's not physically out there on the ice for pregame skate, then I think at that point what the situation will be. That being said, with the comment which went around Philadelphia with regards to the top players having to put on their quote unquote big boy pants, I'm going to say probably in this circumstance, from the scoring and the offensive standpoint, I think last night was one of Claude Giroux's best games in the playoffs. Even without a goal scored, I thought he was, his offensive ability was on display in terms of finding. He had a tremendous night in the faceoff dot. I believe it was close to 73% against an Islander team that has been honestly grinded Philadelphia in this series. His overall game last night was key, I think, in helping Philadelphia being able to win that game. Jake Voracek, it's been interesting how AV's kind of handled sort of the ice time distribution, but Jake's has been when you get into the latter part of the games here, at least in terms of where Philadelphia had a chance. Jake, when he gets moving, he's been tough for the Islander to stop, but it's kind of been a little bit on, a little bit off with him, and you're kind of waiting. You're ready to put an APB out on him, and then all of a sudden, he's out there, and he's an absolute wrecking ball. So, and offensively, he's still showing his flourish, I think, in this series. So, it's a shame, because I think Couturier was definitely certainly coming on, but, I think that, obviously the injury obviously sticks away from that. Travis Konechny was definitely really engaged in the game. I think everybody saw, obviously, the facial expression and everything. He's getting real close in terms of his passing has been great, but they would like to get some more goal scoring out of him, so that would be a bonus if that can happen. And, again, we're going to need to see where things are with, again, the best player for Philadelphia really in this series, I think, at the center position has been Kevin Hayes. Hayes has been, a guy that they've been able to ride on, and that was, that's pretty much, I think, what Philadelphia has needed. I mean, for anybody who had criticism about the contract at this point now, even in just the first year, I think he is such a key cog for what Philadelphia needs to do in order to be able to be successful in the postseason.
Yeah, he's definitely earning that contract. And like you put so perfectly, like Kevin Hayes has been absolutely great. I'm joined by Anthony Mingioni from Center Ice Philly here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk about a couple of feel-good stories involving the Philadelphia Flyers, and we'll talk about one former Oiler who I know Oiler fans would love to have back here in Oiler colors. That's up next. More with Anthony Mingioni. Back here on the Locked On Oilers podcast, I'm Hernan Salas, joined by Anthony Mingioni from Center Ice Philly. Anthony, I was talking about a couple of feel-good stories. Oscar Lindblom, who battled a rare form of bone cancer for much of the season, made his much-awaited return to the Flyers. He was held without a point in just 17 minutes of ice time. But, you know, points aside, this was just great to see Oscar back in the lineup for the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, they've taken, I think, it's a remarkable story. And I tweeted prior to the game, you know, back in January, if you would have told me that Oscar Lindblom would have been playing in a playoff, I mean, obviously playing a playoff game in early September,
yeah,
obviously would have been strange enough to say. But in some, I think, you know, in many ways, Philly really has drawn a lot of their spirit in this postseason run, just from him being around, knowing what he obviously went through with Ewing sarcoma. The fact, I think, that he's out there playing, I still, it's one of those things where I had to wrap my brain around just the sight of it. Seeing him in a pregame skate was one thing the other day. Seeing him actually out there and knowing he was going to be drawing in, again, this is very much kind of the feeling for Philadelphia that all hands needed to be on deck. And again, Vigneault obviously intended, once the injuries happened, Vigneault went to him, stated, you know, that he stated in the press conference today the original target date was September 6th, which was the start of the conference finals, and that was the deal, quote-unquote, that they made. Well, they came, you know, the timeline came up a little bit sooner. They're down, they're missing personnel, and he was ready to go. And you could just see, again, there was hockey, as much as it's important that obviously numbers and everything are extremely important, mm-hmm, but when you're in the postseason, it very much becomes sort of fight. It becomes a lot about fighting spirit. And I think in many ways, because of the fight that he had, and these are things that obviously he'll have to be monitoring obviously for the rest of his life, the fact that he's out there in an elimination game speaks to the respect level that everybody has with him. It was an amazing moment to see when he got out there on their first shift to see both teams, you know, tapping their sticks on the ice in respect. It was, again, a remarkable moment. And again, who knows? Again, we get to Game 7, and we'll see what happens. But I do think that, again, they draw so a lot of their fighting spirit from from Lindblom's fight.
Yeah, it was great to see. Very emotional. And you saw a lot of players, including Max Domi, kind of tweet out in support of him. And it was just great to see Oscar Lindblom play against for the Philadelphia Flyers. I have to ask you, Anthony, Scott Laughton, 9 points in 14 games for this team. He had a very good regular season. Didn't get in, I think he was only, I want to say, 49 games. Sorry, I'm just pulling it up here right now. Scott Laughton. Yeah, 49 games, 27 points. So very good numbers, but he's been really good in the playoffs.
He has. It's been an interesting postseason for Laughton in that he started off in the round robin like a house on fire.
Yeah.
He was absolutely tremendous during the round robin. And then he struggled a bit through that Montreal series and the very beginning of the Islanders series where they ended up healthy scratching him. And then they moved him to third-line center, and he started clicking very quickly on a line with Tyler Pitlick and James Van Riemsdyk. And it was the two guys who had been healthy scratched the most often, plus probably one of their most aggressive forecheckers in Pitlick. And it just clicked. Even in the losses, his play had been noticeable. And Scott, he's one of those guys where because of his style of play and the way he is, he's going to be in and around, and he's going to, you know, for clutch goals, and he can surprise you, especially with his hands in tight, as we saw on the tying goal last night. When he gets his head going and he's got it, and he gets that momentum going and has that mindset, he can be a very difficult player to handle. And again, when Philadelphia did not have, you know, prime center depth to match up with the Islanders last night, he had a great game.
Anthony Mingioni joining me here from Center Ice Philly. As we're looking ahead to Game 7 between the Flyers and New York Islanders, that goes on Saturday. I have to ask you, this is an Edmonton-based show, and Tyler Pitlick was a fan favorite here. And even now in the Oilers offseason, a lot of people text into the radio station that they would like to see Pitlick back. He is a UFA, Anthony, heading into the offseason. He's coming off just making $1 million. Is this a guy that the Flyers are going to want to, you know, bring back?
I think they like a lot of what Tyler Pitlick brings to them. I think it very much will depend on what the market will offer, what the market will bear. Philadelphia has a lot of forward prospects in the system right now, and I think if it's at a number that I think both sides can agree to, then I think there's a definite possibility there. At the same time, if the market kind of goes above where the Flyers are going to evaluate again. It depends, again, on how they sort of view and die him. Again, I think Alain Vigneault has shown in this series that he's elevated Pitlick at times where he had him as high as the second line playing on the Hayes line. He highly respects Tyler Pitlick and what he brings. He's a consistent player, perfect bottom six guy in terms of the fact he's a forechecking missile. And when you want to play that kind of style, as Alain likes to do, that may go to his favor in terms of getting him back in orange and black. But again, it's one of those things where we're going to have to see what the market will look like, obviously, with, you know, salaries, depending on where things are at, obviously, with the impact of the pandemic. So we'll see. I would peg it probably at around 50-50, but I'm sure somebody may get in my ear after I talk to you and say, maybe not, or maybe more than that. So we'll see.
Anthony, let's have some fun now. It's prediction time on the Locked On Oilers podcast. Three game sevens. One gets going here in a few hours from Edmonton, Dallas at Colorado, then later tonight, Vegas and the Vancouver Canucks, where Demko has been absolutely lights out these last two games. And of course, the team you cover, the Philadelphia Flyers, on Saturday at 5:30 versus the New York Islanders. That's Edmonton time. For the three series that are going to Game 7, give me your winners.
I got to tell you, Vancouver now, all of a sudden, especially since it got on a roll with Demko, I'm starting to wonder, but I still think Vegas will be able to close things out. But they got to get, you know, they got to get back to the way they were playing earlier in the series. They kind of let things get away from them. So, but it's an even toss, and I'm going to say Vegas slips past.
Vegas and how about Colorado-Dallas?
Colorado-Dallas, man, oof, again, in that one, it's really, Dallas is one of those teams where I haven't been very high because their peaks and valleys are really not great. They got to bring it together pretty soon. I have Colorado going out of the West to begin with, so I'm going to say Colorado finishes them off here and gets to and they win the series and move on to the conference finals against Vegas.
And do I even have to ask you about Philly, New York? Like, I mean, you're going to go...
It's tough. It's a 50-50 because, again, watch that game for the most part. It was... That should have been... That, by all rights, the Islanders should have closed that series out last night. But it's the weird part about hockey. Can Philly do it? Do they have enough momentum? They got to play better in terms of better structure. Which may be a tall order to handle. You survive one game without Sean Couturier. Can you do it again if he isn't playing? It's a tough spot. And the Islanders, I think, have had, for the most part, the better of the play in the series. Even though the Flyers have home ice, I am hard-pressed to pick them. I'm going to say they have expended a lot of their energy here and that it's Game 7. While I think it's going to be close, I do think the Islanders still have the matchup advantages in a lot of cases here. So me being, you know, me trying to cut this thing down the middle despite being from Philadelphia, I'm going to say the Islanders will win Game 7 in advance.
I like it. You're honest, and, you know, you don't let the Flyer goggles get to you. We see a lot of that here in Edmonton. But, yeah, this one's a tough one for me as well. I love Carter Hart, and I think he's the better goaltender of the two. And like you said, New York probably should have won that game last night, but Carter Hart, even though there was a four goals against, he stood on his head for them. So I think out of the three game sevens coming up, Anthony, this one's the one that is a toss-up for me. It truly is because the teams are so evenly matched. I kind of agree with you on the other two. I think Vegas and Colorado get it done today. Anthony, thank you so much for joining me. I know it's a busy time covering the Philadelphia Flyers. All the best. Enjoy all three game sevens, and I hope to have you on in the near future.
My pleasure, Hernan. Thanks for having me on.
That was Anthony Mangione from Center Ice Philly joining me on the Locked On Oilers podcast. Big shout out to him on this Friday. Remember to give me a follow on Twitter at Hernan the Man, at Locked On Oilers, and at Locked On Podcast. Don't forget to download and subscribe and press play on all your favorite apps for the latest episodes. Producer Miguel's giving me the good old finger twirls. Time to wrap up. Full slate of pods coming next week for Locked On Oilers. I'm your host, Hernan the Man, talking Los Petroleros. Enjoy your long weekend. Talk to you on Tuesday.